Welcome back to Tip TV Education. My name's Charlie Burton. My next guest, we've actually interviewed a couple of times already, but he's so good, we've decided to try and get him on again, and he's agreed. John Mattingly, thanks ever so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Charlie. That's very flattering.
Well, you know, you've always got plenty to say, so let's crack on. Now, when you were last on the show, on the programme, I think it was probably a good year or so ago, we were talking about automation, and automation in the city, because you have a lot of experience in that, and how difficult it is for, you know, some of the big institutions to actually get alpha. And I've got a feeling we're going to talk similarly to that again today.
Right, yeah.
And so, because when we were talking before, we were talking about how difficult it is to actually get programmable systems that are actually going to be profitable over a long enough period. And that so often, they're not. And that was where we were, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. There were a couple of factors in the last interview that I gave that stood out, really, which was that the markets change, the conditions in the markets change. I mean, we were talking earlier, and you know, when was the last time we had near zero or zero interest rates, negative in some cases, for the last 10 years? You know, when in history have we ever done that? We haven't. So if you build a system to trade in that environment, then at some point that's going to change. And indeed, it's subtly changing all the time. You know, markets are in, you know, they're adaptive systems. They're adaptive systems. And I think what happens is that you can apply, a bit like economics, you can apply too much maths to these things and miss what's really going on. And I think that's where a lot of the institutions struggle. You and I know that, of course, if you have a large fund, it's much harder to churn in numbers than it is for, you know, a good retail trader. You know, a good retail trader can do 10% a month.
Yep.
Sometimes more.
Yep.
And I know, you know, every institution I've ever been to would absolutely kill for that kind of, you know, that kind of performance. So there's that aspect to it. I think also people, I think as retail traders, when they look at these guys, they think that they've got some kind of, that the institutions must have some kind of magic that's in there that is causing them to have a better performance than you're getting as a retail trader. But if you actually compare the two sets of trading results, you'll find that actually you're much better off being a retail trader, curiously enough.
Yep.
But it's hard. You know, it's very, very hard. All of the things that are wiped out by being, you know, putting your capital into automated trading systems exist in you sitting at your desk. And it's very, very hard to overcome those things.
And it's very difficult to actually replicate that as well, because there's those small innate things that we do as human beings which are very, very difficult to program, and that becomes a big issue. But let's talk about, first of all, coming back to the institutional side of things, and talk about AI, because you're actively involved in that at the moment. And
yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that going on. I mean, clearly, I mean, what tends to happen, of course, is if you're a big bank, if you're a big hedge fund, you've got plenty of capital, and what you'll do is you'll make a decision to put that capital in the place where it's going to earn you the most return. Of course, and you'll allocate a certain amount of that on essentially what's a punt, which you know, the punt being, well, AI may turn out to be absolutely fantastic, but there is that tendency to think that you're going to be the only one who's going to get that advantage. And what should be popping up in senior management's minds, particularly in banks, is, look, we've been doing technology now for, you know, 30 years, and we've been telling our investors that technology is where it's at, but the results haven't been that fantastic. The results have only been good when there have been massive mispricings in the marketplace. You know, if we think of, or massive imbalances, if we think of things like, you know, mortgage-backed securities, for instance, subprime, all of those kinds of things, yeah, you can make a lot of money out of that because somebody, you know, there's asymmetric information going on. Somebody doesn't know what the other side knows. But when you're actually just writing algorithms and you're in there in the public markets, then yeah, it's kind of find it hard to think why you would put an awful lot of capital behind that and not be able to, generally from the results I see, not able to, you know, earn your cost of capital.
So these AI systems, like you're saying, they're not earning the cost of capital. So what's the point in doing them? What's the vested interest for those institutions?
I think it's a natural human thing to think that somehow or another you're going to be the only person in the marketplace. But, you know, as I've just said, I think that they should be waking up now and saying, actually, technology doesn't solve all these problems for us. Technology is so democratic now. Anybody can do it. It's cheap as chips, most of it. I mean, you and I trade on technology that, you know, most traders would have given their eye teeth for 10 years ago.
Yep.
You know, so there's that element to it. AI is just another one of those. Also, I think that there are vested interests in selling things like AI or indeed, you know, big data analytics.
Yeah.
And they ascribe certain names to these things, like, you know, suddenly somebody becomes a data scientist. It's not just a data analyst, he's a data scientist. You know, AI is a bit like that. It's a science. No, it's not a science. You can't ascribe scientific principles to markets because they are self-adapting systems. You know, they adapt.
Yep.
So everybody who's participating in it, even the guy in my office who's putting on a 1K trade, is affecting the market. So if everybody's out there using AI, then AI will inevitably, very quickly in this day and age, even out the market to the point where there's nothing to be got from anybody.
So there's no edge. There still is no edge.
Well, I think the edge
is that
you can get an edge, but it's very, very fleeting. That's the problem.
It's a short window of opportunity.
You know, we see it. I think there's no substitute, certainly not at the moment. And I'm hedging my bets here, of course. But at the moment, AI is not good enough to do what a human can do. It can't do those subtleties that we can do on a day-to-day basis.
This is interesting because, like, you've already touched on the fact that, you know, most people out there just assume that these institutions have got these magic systems which just churn out profits for them.
Hmm.
But that's not necessarily the case. Like you say, maybe they're churning out some losses as well, which they're just warehousing.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think I said this in the last interview that, you know, what are the advantages that the big institutions have got over, you know, you and I? And really, it's mostly the fact that they can warehouse those losses and do what we do, which is, you know that your system works, you know that you're going to have some drawdowns over time, you know that the market conditions will change, and that you adapt to those changes, and you bring back your profits to, you bring back your losses to break even, and then you go on with your, you know, with your upward trajectory. The difference between us and a bank is they can warehouse bigger losses and they can warehouse them for longer. And this
yep.
is really, that's all it is. You know, they can put them on a balance sheet and, you know, they can raise money to cover that and everything else. We can't do, they can raise money for nothing, more or less, you know.
It's a fascinating scenario that we're in yet again, as you're saying, that, you know, these self-adapting systems aren't that good at self-adapting.
Well, if they were, Charlie, yours and mine's pensions would be going through the roof, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and everybody else's. But so, of course, people have got to realise that it is, by and large, a zero-sum game. Every time I take a, you know, I put a buy order in, there's somebody who thinks that the market's going to go the other way.
The markets are in a situation now where we've got ultra-low volatility, VIX is at ultra-low levels, we've got implied option volatility is on the floor as well.
Indeed. So
at some point, something's got to take off, hasn't it?
You'd think so, wouldn't
Hopefully.
You?
Hopefully, like you say. Yeah.
You'd think so, but, you know, if you look at how long we've been in this situation, one starts to wonder, you know, are we in the end of days as far as market's concerned? You know, is it going to be completely flattened out by, you know, little algos that every time somebody puts a buy order in, somebody's putting a sell order in automatically without even thinking about it? You know, we may well end up with that kind of stasis going on until maybe somebody, a regulator, for instance, says, okay, you know, we live in a human world that, it would be great if this technology was giving us all fantastic superior returns, and, you know, we've still got a big pension hole in across the Western world. These things haven't sort of sorted us out. Maybe we should go back to just having humans doing this stuff.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And maybe they do need to look at those returns and say, well, actually, yeah, this isn't working, as you've said, and maybe we need to go maybe full circle a little bit, or maybe three quarters of the way there. We'll pick up on that in part two, because we're going to talk about what solutions there could be in your view here, and how this is going to affect retail traders as well, because it's important for our audience as well. So
Indeed.
We shall be back for part two shortly.